Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. You know we need it. A meeting with our very own self-care officer. Jen Collins of the Mama Needs podcast and Subscription Box is here to talk to us all about self-care. Jen shares her story, how she is currently finding self-care, and how we too can look for self-care on the daily versus when we are already at our tipping point. She breaks down what self-care can look like, could look like, and maybe what it shouldn't look like. Jen has become a sweet Instagram friend of mine, and I'm so excited for you to meet her today. Be sure to follow Jen on Instagram at Mama Needs Box for all her subscription box needs, podcast info, and just some really good encouragement. I'm so excited to share our conversation with you today. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Okay. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited. I'm sitting down with friend Jen Collins of the Mama Needs podcast and subscription box. Jen and I have just been Instagram friends, and I've been on her show. And just like, honestly, us sitting down having coffee, and I'm just so excited about it. So, Jen, hey, thanks for coming with me today.
Yeah, it's so great to be here.
Tell me first, what's in your cup? Are you drinking anything?
Yes. I'm so excited because I wanted to make sure I had something fun to drink. And I don't normally get this, but it's super hot here today. So I got a Starbucks pink drink, and I'm loving it.
It's so good. Tried that. I saw you drinking it earlier. I haven't tried it, and I feel like I need to add that to my
It's Starbucks. Super refreshing, and it's
called
one
the pink
of my
drink.
Yeah, it's literally just called the pink drink. It's got coconut milk in it. It's like some kind of tea, and it's got pieces of strawberry in it too, and it's just super nice on a warm day.
Yeah,
so
that does sound really good.
Yeah, you got to go get it.
Jen, you have a podcast, a subscription box, a family. Basically, you wear a million hats. And something that you are so passionate about is self-care. And I obviously can see why. But I want to know, where did this like start for you? Self-care, awareness, all of that.
Yeah, well, you know, we all wear hats as moms. I feel like we're all like this hat. But self-care awareness really didn't start for me until much later into motherhood. My oldest is 12 now. And when I was pregnant with her and had her, I was 25. So I felt like I was really just a baby. And I had never changed a diaper. I didn't really babysit. And so I was just kind of getting to know her and motherhood. And, you know, I keep telling her, you're our little guinea pig. I'm so sorry. But I didn't even know the word self-care or the phrase self-care. That wasn't a thing. And my mom says the same thing, like when she was, you know, her generation, she's like, yeah, that wasn't a thing. I don't even know what you're talking about. So it wasn't until after I had her and I was having a really tough time with her. She had a great pregnancy. I ended up having a C-section, kind of not really wanting to, but that's the way it worked out. It's a long story. But when I had her, I knew I wanted to breastfeed. And so I was trying, and it was just really, really difficult. No one tells you how hard that's going to be. You just have to try it. And it was rough. And I remember getting an email from a friend who she had just ran into my husband at Target. And he was like a deer in headlights walking around trying to find some nursing supplies for me and like bottles, and didn't know what to get. And all of a sudden he saw my friend Emily, and she was like, I got you. I'll help you. And so she sent me an email the next day because she knew that I was struggling. And she really kind of was the first person to be like, have you taken a shower today? Mm-hmm. Have you changed your clothes? Like, don't get dressed. Don't wear hard pants. Don't wear jeans, you know, but like, just, have you changed your clothes? It's okay to cry. Like, she kind of gave me some permission that I didn't even know I needed and wasn't expecting. And I remember my mom kind of doing the same thing. Go take a bath. Let me hold Sadie, you know, let me do this for you. And I would cry and cry and cry. You know, as a mom, you just cry all the time and you don't really know why, especially postpartum. And I was crying all the time. And I was like, I'm such a bad mom. I'm such a bad mom. Why am I doing this? Like, this is not. And she's like, you are not a bad mom. And she just continually spoke truth to me. And so, you know, my self-care journey, for lack of a better word, kind of started then, back in 2008. And then I went on to have two more children. And, it's been up and down. And I feel like as moms, that's just how it is. Like, we go through patterns. We're not perfect at taking care of ourselves. I am by no means a self-care expert, but I do love to take care of myself, because I know that when I am, and this is just something I've learned over time, again, 12 years being a mom and just going through a lot of different situations and things, I've learned that if I want to be the kind of mom that I have sought to be, that I've dreamed of being, someone who's, you know, not yelling at my kids all the time, someone who's not burned out and overwhelmed, I need to take care of myself. Because when this is so cliche, I know, like, when you say you fill your cup so you can pour out to others, but it's 100% accurate. Yeah. And so what I tell, like, my customers and my audience is, you know, I want us as moms to serve and give our families from a place of abundance rather than burnout and overwhelm, because, a filled up mom is going to be a better mom. And so I've stopped kind of apologizing for that. There was a time when I felt a lot of guilt surrounding that, a lot of shame. And I will say, you know, my husband's my partner, my best friend, and he has given me permission too, and just been like, you don't have to ask, just go take a bath if you need to take a bath. Like, he can tell on my face when I'm like about to lose my mind. Why don't you just go like in the bathtub for a little bit, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, thank you. Or sometimes I'll just be like, I gotta go. Peace out. You're it, you know? And it's gotten so much better over the years. My kids are old, you know, they're 12, 9, and 6 now, which is insane to me. So things are a little better. They're more independent, but when they were little, it was so hard. And so I had to, for my own sanity, for my own mental health, and for the health of my family, I had to, put myself as a priority and take care of myself. So that's why it's such a big deal to me, is just, I just want to be a good mom.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you're championing other moms to be good moms as well, right? You're saying like, hey, we don't have to take this whole burden on ourselves. Like, hopefully you have somebody walking alongside you as a partner or a helper or something along those lines. Like, when we need help, we need help. So if you, like, I can't imagine being a single mom when my kids were little. Like, I just can't imagine. But I do know that the friends I have who are walking that are good at asking for help, because we all need help. And so I think that there's just this, like that self-care, asking for help is self-care.
It is 100%. And it's so hard to do.
It's so hard to do. Because one, we think as moms we should be doing it all. And two, like, if we can't do it all, then we must be failing. And like, what a lie. Like, what a lie. I would never tell my friend that. Like, my best friend just had her fifth baby. And if she was like, oh, I can't do it all, I'd be like, you're a failure. No! I'd be like, let me hold the baby. Go do something. Like, or go take a nap.
Yes. How can I help you? Because I want you to be a good mom too. And I know you need this. And I think when we see other moms calling for help or just not even actually verbally saying it, but you can tell, you know, you can tell as a mom when somebody is struggling. And I think just reaching out if you can to help out is everything. So,
Sure. Well, I think there's something too about the realizing we need help. Like, when are we realizing that we hit burnout? Have you seen any like sure signs of burnout that you can talk to us about?
Yeah, you know, I kind of see just personally my own kind of triggers that make me like that. And I will say a few years ago, I was walking through a very, very difficult time in my family. My youngest son was born in North Carolina after we moved. So we used to live in Florida and now we live in North Carolina in the mountains. And he was born here. We kind of thought we were done at two kids. And then God was like, just kidding. So we had this third baby who was amazing and we were so thankful, but it didn't mess things up. I don't want to say it like that, but it just really changed the dynamic of our family and we had to really all of us get used to it. And so when he got a little bit older, I kind of just noticed some things were off. But I was like, whatever. He's the third kid. He's a boy. And what I was noticing was his speech. Just he wasn't talking at all like his brother and sister had. He was just kind of pointing and grunting and making noises and stuff. And I was just like, it's fine. And then I took him to one of his well visits. I think it was like 12 or 15 month visit. And the doctor was like, is he saying this? They have that questionnaire that you kind of fill out. And he was concerned. And I was like, really? You think so? Because, he is the third kid and he is a boy. And everyone talks for him. His sister is bossy and she's talking for him all the time. And, everybody gets everything for him whenever he makes a sound. And he's like, well, that's probably part of it. But he was like, it wouldn't hurt just to, talk to a speech therapist and just see. And so, of course, I'm going to follow what my doctor says. And so I set up an appointment and it happened to be somebody that we know, thankfully, because we live in a small town and she's amazing. And it turned out that he had a very, he still has it. He will always struggle with it, but it's a rare speech disorder called childhood apraxia of speech. And just kind of the short explanation is that he can understand exactly what you're saying. Everything is coming through in his brain. But it's a brain motor disorder where his brain can't communicate with the mouth muscles. And so he knows what he wants to say, but he can't say it. And when it comes out, it just sounds, you can't understand what he's saying. And that was a really difficult time for me, to say the least. Not only because I had a lot of guilt and shame, like immediately blamed myself as a mom, immediately was like, what did I do in my pregnancy? And I hate to say all that, but I know that we would all say the same thing. Yeah. Like immediately anything wrong with our kids or with our family, we're like, what did I do? What did I do? And then not only that, but it was just, he was a very difficult child because he couldn't speak, he couldn't communicate with us and it was hard to understand what he wanted and what he was saying. And I got severely depressed. I had a lot of anxiety. I had to see a counselor with all the things that I was feeling.
Yeah.
All the guilt and all the thing, like pressure and stuff that I was carrying. And, so it just became a lot for me. And that was a huge moment of kind of burnout where I was like, I need actual professional help to walk through this time. And I think as moms, we go through these times where, we need a little extra help. And I always say, going to therapy, going to counseling is self-care, and it's great to do even when you're well. Yeah. And I'm doing that now. There's not a crisis in my life right now, but I just need somebody to talk to about some things, And so the burnout for me shows up when I am super overwhelmed. Like in that situation and in many, many situations over the 12 years, when I'm completely overwhelmed, when I know that I've put too much on my plate, when I haven't, been good about the boundaries that I've set up and keeping those up. I used to be a super yes person. Like I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'm happy to help. I also used to work outside of the home and, in a job where I was always had to be there 24/7, whether I was there physically or, checking my phone all the time. And it just got to the point where I had to draw a line in the sand and put up boundaries. And so that's a huge thing for me too. So I would say kind of a combination of all of those things lead me to getting in a completely overwhelmed state, completely burnt out. And I know, okay, I've got to step back. Not only do I need to, like, what do I need right now? But, like, what do I need long term to keep this from happening again? And so, you know, I've kind of seen that in my life over and over again and have done that. And so that's what kind of leads to burnout to me.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers four different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show. When we take care of ourselves, when we realize what's triggering us, when we realize what is causing us to be depleted, because I really do think that's what it is. When we are depleted, we're not taking care of ourselves, whether it's having a newborn and just even trying to figure out, like, how am I supposed to shower or even go to the bathroom? Because what if they need me? To the inner turmoil that is being a mom with the guilt and the stress and the heaviness that lays on us. Like, when we finally learn what's triggering us and what's causing us to feel depleted, we can take care of that. And when we take care of that, we show our kids how to take care of that themselves. We just recently lost one of our family dogs, and it was so heartbreaking and so sad. And my middle son looked up at me and said, "How do I grieve? Like, how do I grieve?" And I was like, okay, these are lessons I didn't think we would have to talk about. But, like, because we have, as adults, have taken care of ourselves and have learned lessons ahead of time, we can then say, this is how I grieve. This is how I've walked through hard times. And then we just partner with our kids. And that is hopefully, like, I told the kids the other day, like, how do I know I'm raising you well? I don't know yet, guys. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like, how do we know we're doing a good job until it's too late?
I see glimpses here and there. And then sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? No. You know?
Yeah. So I'm like, so it's one of those lessons for me where it's like, okay, if I can walk as candidly as I can with my kids and saying, like, man, I am sad and this is how I'm going to deal with that. Or, hey, I'm going to go to my office and I'm going to check into counseling today, right now. So you guys leave me alone for an hour. It's showing our kids to take care of themselves and teaching them that they can do the same. And that self-care isn't only pedicures and massages, because those are amazing, but self-care actually starts with taking care of our hearts and leaning first on Jesus. And then second, really, really taking all of those things, burnout, struggle, insecurity, grief, all of these things that are really heavy, in sitting with them, sorting them out, and then, like, dealing. And I think that that's the best lesson that we can teach our kids is, like, as moms, we deal. Like, we do the work. And that doing the work is then self-care. And the other stuff, like, that's the fun stuff. Like, if I can go relax and get a massage, then I don't have to be thinking about the heaviness. And then I'm not having a breakdown on the massage table, because that's embarrassing. I'm talking from experience.
Yep, I can completely imagine and be there right with you. So I totally get it. Yeah, I mean, I hope that I'm teaching my kids. I see my daughter again, who's 12, and when she has a bad day or she struggles with a little bit of anxiety that we're kind of walking through, and I'm always like, go and take a bath, honey. You know, like, this is something that really relaxes me. Like, that's my number one thing to do to practice self-care. Just a simple, easy thing is I just need to be removed from a situation and have quiet, and just, there's just something about being in the water that's very calming. You know, anytime I'm in any water, whether it's a pool or the ocean or the lake, like, there's just something about that that's so soothing and comforting. And so, you know, I want to give her permission too, to be like, go and just take a few minutes to yourself. Yeah. And so, yeah, I hope that she's learning from that. I hope that she, you know, I think I told her the other day, I was like, if I'm teaching you anything, it's to take care of your body, like, take care of yourself. So that's I hope it works out for her.
The one thing I told my kids, the only thing that you're walking away out of this family out of is at least you know how to say you're sorry. I have modeled apologies often.
Mm-hmm. Same. So, yeah. That's one of the humbling things about being a parent. Oh man.
Well, love that. I love that you're already showing her, like, hey, if you're feeling anxious, like, remove yourself. Like, you don't have to, like, because that's something my counselor for the first time a few years ago said, like, you crank the volume up all of a sudden. Like, you're at a 3 and then 1 second later you're at a 9. Like, what happened to all of those little numbers in the middle? I'm like, well, I don't know how to regulate, obviously. He's like, let's talk about that. So I think that there's just those moments of, like, of counsel, like, hey, you can remove yourself from the situation. You can go take some time. You can calm yourself down, like, learn your body, because that is one thing I don't think that we were taught to do well in our generation.
Yeah.
I think we were just like, go for it or don't go for it, whatever. And so now to teach our kiddos, like, one, my kids don't know how to be bored. So that's something we're going to work on this summer, is, like, boredom.
Same. Yes.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Let me know how that goes.
My house might be burning down. I don't know. So I just think that, like, we don't know how to regulate. And so I think that that's something that we're just going to work on. We're going to work on, like, boredom. We're going to work on how to talk our feelings out a little bit better. All of these things, I really do believe, take root in our own personal self-care. Granted, do I love self-care going to the coffee shop and sitting alone? Yeah, I do. Sure as heck do. But I also know that I have to take care of myself emotionally before I can do all of that. Otherwise, I will just, like, Jen, I can't stress enough to you how often I find myself alone. If I'm not taking care of myself, I will find myself alone sobbing somewhere. Like, it's awful because I'm not taking care. I'm not taking the time to slow down when I feel it. And it ends up being like an embarrassing thing where I'm just like this crazy person sobbing. Granted, that's how my feelings come out. Like that's how I regulate, is a good solid cry.
What Enneagram number are you? Did we talk
I'm
about
a 9.
Oh, I don't think we talked about that because I'm a 9 too.
I thought I knew that, but it might just be through Instagram. Okay. But yes, I am a 9. And so when you're talking about, like, going to take a bath, mine is a nap. Like, I have to remove to a nap. I don't like sitting in water. Like, I like sitting on water on the pool, like, in a float. I don't like hot tubs or baths. I find myself, like, sitting with my hands up because I don't like my hands wet. And if I – this is the whole thing. Jesse makes so much money. I don't like my face being wet. So if I'm in a hot tub and my hands are in the water, well, then if I have to wipe my face off, then it's this whole cycle of, like – I can't deal with it. So I sit in bodies of water with my hands above the water so awkwardly because I don't want my hands to get wet because I need to wipe my face. Or I have to have a towel on me at all times. It's a weird quirk. So I love people who love baths. I have some dear friends who, like, take a bath every night. And I'm just like, man, I really wish I could. Like, it sounds beautiful.
Do you like showers or not? Just not so much.
I love scalding hot showers.
Yeah. And I do too. If I can't take a bath, that's the next best thing. So, I mean, yeah, some people are bath people and some people are shower people. Yeah. And even though I'm a 9 and I know, like, that's kind of a thing, is, like, going to take a nap, I have a terrible time napping because I just can't shut my brain off.
That's been my problem recently, is there's just too much. If I'm like, okay, I've got 20, 30, 40 minutes, you know, whatever the time frame is, it's going to take me almost that long just to shut
down. To fall
down.
Asleep.
And I'm like, man, I just can't do it. So it's really what I do a lot is I'll take a chair to the pool and I'll sit the chair in the pool. Like, we have a shallow end, and I'll read. That's been my big, like,
Oh, that sounds lovely. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And then you don't have to touch your face or touch the water.
See, I'm a big body of water person. I just can't get my hands and face away. It's so weird.
That's funny. Hey, but it's who you are. It's okay.
So with your feelings, are you a big crier?
Oh, yes. And yeah, and I was going to say, I identify with that because as nines, I know that we have a lot of anger that we kind of just stuff down. Oh, yeah. And my anger comes out as tears. And I remember when I used to work full-time outside of the home in that job I was telling you about, and I would get so angry about something, and I'd be in a meeting with like my supervisor, and I'd start crying, and I'd get so mad at myself. Like I'd be so mad at the situation, and then I'd be so mad at myself for emotionally breaking down in front of this guy, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, he doesn't know what to do with me. He's like, why is this woman in my office crying? And I'm like, this is how I communicate. This is how it comes out of me, is crisp through tears. And it's so annoying. I almost have to like excuse myself, write an email, and like get it out that way, because I cannot speak and cry at the same time. It's just awful.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. Any feeling too high, whether it's like anger, frustration, sadness, just comes out as like just tears. And then I have this voice that happens, which is like this high pitch, like it just is awful. It's so embarrassing. It's not embarrassing in the sense of like I like that that's how I emote, like I'm okay with that, but I also can't handle it when people tell me my feelings aren't facts. And so I know the truth that my feelings are not facts, but I'm like, you can't like just discount my feelings this way because I'm feeling this way. So I balance this hard line of like, no, feelings are not facts, I get that, but like my feelings are a part of me. Like,
yeah.
So I wrestle with that often, but, anything just comes, anything above or below, what is Kristen Bell says it, like anything above a 7 comes out as tears, anything below a 3 comes out as tears. Like there's that like sweet spot in the middle where you're like just happy. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel that it's important to feel your feelings. Cause I think, I don't remember the exact situation now, but I was around somebody a few years ago, in my life, just in my circle, you know, and he wouldn't allow his children to cry and feel their feelings, and he'd be like, "No, you guys are good, you know, let's go, snap out of it." And I always just kind of like, I didn't have kids at that time, and I was kind of like, I don't feel like that's right. I don't know. I'm not a parent yet, but I don't know about that. And so as I have kind of grown up, you know, as a mom and person, I'm just like, you know, I need to feel my feelings, and it's okay. It's okay to feel that way for a little bit. It's okay to, like my pastor at our church, he says, it's okay not to be okay, but Jesus loves us too much to leave us that way. Like it's a cute little rhyme, but it's really powerful, I think.
Yeah.
So like, it's okay to be who you are, but you know, like it's okay to also change and grow and, you know, get out of those feelings and move on and move forward. So
yeah, I'm with you. I love that.
Feelings are valid.
Feelings are so valid. And it's hard because I think when our boys were born, we were kind of still in that, like, don't cry, stop crying. Ugh. And so now that our boys are a little bit bigger, we are very much like, well, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? Just really talking it out. And a lot of that probably comes too from our adoption and learning just more about our brains and what our brains handle and how like just how good emoting really is for us. And I think when we stuff our feelings down, I mean, as a fellow Enneagram 9, when I stuff those feelings down, all of a sudden it becomes a volcano and I'm like gushing feelings everywhere and everyone's like, what? And I'm like, I didn't know I felt that way. I'm sorry. It's a surprise to me too. Whoopsies.
Yeah. You're like, I'm still processing this, but I have to cry. It's involuntary.
Here's a fun fact, two fun facts right now. Because we've just had a lot of feelings in our home lately. I have two go-to videos that like, if I need to cry, cause I don't know if you ever had just like, you need to get the, like flush the system. Like literally that's what I do. Two videos that I've been watching lately that make me cry. Number one, Kelly Clarkson winning American Idol.
Oh my goodness. I remember watching that live.
Where she breaks down because she's seeing for a moment like this.
Yeah. So she starts crying. I remember breaking down too. Oh,
Go ahead and find that on YouTube. Get yourself a good feelings. Number two, and this speaks again just to like my heart for Disney, Jimmy Fallon and Kristen Bell singing like the Disney melody, like a Disney melody, where it's like, it was like right before COVID hit last year, the pandemic. It was like one of her last big appearances. She's like a very, very middle part bob, like blunt cut bob. And she ends it singing Into the Unknown. Jesse looked over at me and he was like, what's wrong? And then I was like heaving, crying. Like, it was just so beautiful. And he's like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? So those are some things making me cry lately.
Okay.
But that is how I have to care for myself sometimes. Sometimes I have to flush those feelings because I need to feel them so that they're not being stuffed down into a volcano that will one day erupt all over my family.
Yeah, and so that you're not numbing, because I know for me it's hard not to numb out everything.
Yeah, for sure. How are you finding self-care right now?
How am I finding self-care right now? Well, in business-wise, it's through inviting people in to my business to help me, to help me run it, because I've been doing this 2.5 years now, which I can't even believe how fast it went. And it's not that long, but it feels long. I don't know.
It does. Yeah.
So I've been kind of holding this badge of honor of like being this one woman show. And, you know, I built this from nothing. Nobody knew who I was, and not that I want to be famous at all, but it's a badge that we carry. And as moms, we carry badges like that too. Like, no, look at me. I'm homeschooling. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And everything you're doing is great. But when you hold it as a badge of honor like that, it can be unhealthy. And it also leads to burnout, like we were talking about. Yeah. And so I quickly saw at the end of last year, actually, at the end of 2020, 2020 was actually really crazy enough, a good year business-wise.
When did we need self-care more than when we were stuck at home?
Because when did we need self-care? Exactly. And people were caring for their people and buying them lots of subscription boxes. And so I couldn't be more grateful. But it also showed me that towards the end of the year, I was sending out email after email to people, you know, customer service stuff. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I need help. And so I figured out what I needed the most help with, you know, just kind of like mentally or whatever. I don't know if I wrote it down, but like, what are my top priorities to have someone come and help me? And I just started knocking those out little by little. I didn't hire everybody all at once. Yeah. And everybody is remote. They're all moms. They're all, one of them I've known for several years, and the other ones I just, you know, have met this year. But they're helping me in different ways. Like, for instance, helping me with like scheduling social media and kind of strategizing that with me. And then I am terrible. I'm very right-brained, very creative mind. And so anything numbers, anything logistical like that, I glaze over. And, you know, some people are like, no, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't limit yourself, that you say you're not a numbers person. But I'm never going to be a numbers person. Like, I just know that about myself, and that's okay. And so I've decided to let that go. I was doing my own bookkeeping, and I hired someone to help me with that, because I have lots of expenses every single month, and I needed somebody to come alongside me and not even just help me with that, but it also helps me see the bigger picture of my business and where my money is going and how I can save money, how I can serve my audience better with what I'm doing and the way I'm purchasing. And so it's really good all around. And then I just hired somebody to help me with copywriting. And so just things like that, where it's like, I'm just slowly kind of bringing in people here and there, you know, a few hours here, a few hours there. And it's been so life-giving. given me so much time back and taken a little bit of that kind of mental load off of me so that I can focus on bigger picture things, visionary things, how I want to grow, what's my next step, what's my next big goal, things like that. So that's been really, that's been a self-care thing, to be honest. Yeah. And then, like I said before, baths, like that's how I recharge at the end of a day. I don't do it every day, but if I do it, you know, 3 times a week, I feel great about that. And again, I don't apologize for it. Yeah. Because I need it. I know what I need, to fill up and then go out to fill, to give and serve my family. So, mm-hmm. So that's a big thing. I love people. And so the pandemic was rough because, you know, I love my family. And so honestly, I like to stay home. Yeah. So that wasn't hard for me because I'm kind of a homebody. I didn't used to be, but when I became a mom, I kind of became a homebody. But I did miss my people. And so anytime I can have a girls' night, I'd love to have a girls' trip sometime soon. So like any, and you know, dates with my husband, dates with my kids, things like that. I need people to fill me up also. And then just, you know, very quiet time, reading a book, you know, praying, even if it's just looking at my phone and playing like a dumb game, like just having a few minutes to just do nothing for a little while and have my brain kind of reset. Because as moms, our brains are going 90 miles a minute, thinking of all the things that we have going on. You know, I remember like telling my husband one time, like literally downloading everything I was struggling with in my head for weeks that I hadn't gotten out to him. And he was like, "You're carrying all of that?" Like, it was like, I don't know, 8 things, and they were big. Some of them were not so big, but they'd become big. And then some of them were big things. And he's like, "Oh my gosh." You know, he just doesn't, as a man, you know, God bless him. Like, he's amazing. He's my best friend. He helps me with everything, but he doesn't know what I'm thinking. Yeah. He's not a mind reader. And so I had to just finally tell him like all the things. And so, yeah, like talking it out, having him take things off of me, working together. Another a piece of self-care is we have really, especially since we moved, we just bought a house last year and moved in. We haven't purchased a house since 2006. And that's a whole other story, but we've been renting in between. And so we finally have a place of our own. We're setting down roots. Like, it couldn't be more amazing. God really just did an amazing thing. And so when we moved in here, you know, we all decided, that we're all going to help. Like, we're going to do more. We're all going to, like, we all are members of this family, and mom does not carry everything for everybody. Yeah. Yeah. And so, our older 2 kids do the dishes. I love cooking, so I have no problem doing that, but I literally cook. I sit down and I eat it, and I get it from the table and I walk away.
Yeah.
And my kids do the rest. And
it's so nice.
You know, again, they're 12 and 9, the older 2, and we took a long time to get here. So anybody who's
listening, there's a lot of training that's really great for you.
Oh yeah, we had to train them. We've had many nights of tears and frustration from me, from them, and now it's finally gotten. It took a while, a good 6 months to get them to the point where they could do that.
And I say, do it right the first time. Otherwise, you'll just end up doing it again. Like that's our like tough love. Like,
oh yeah,
like I don't
for
like
sure
do it. Come on, I want to tell you my self-care right now, if that's okay.
Yes, I would love to know.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we had somebody coming to clean the house twice a month. This sweet, amazing team. They come in and they like just deep clean. So they're now, we've had to bump them up to once a month, bump them down. But another thing, Jesse, for my birthday, got me a organizer. She's come in and organized my house.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Like the pantry, the cupboard, the utility my pantry. Room. She came in, she's so great, so kind. I like recommend her to anybody local. She came in and she said something like, "Oh yeah, this will be an easy project." And in my heart, I got super defensive. I was like, "I know it'll be easy. I know I could do it." And she's like, no. "This is easy for me and my team. You have other jobs that you're doing.
Right.
I can't do your job. It's not easy to me. Let me do my job. I'll take care of this. I'll get you." She's like, "Let me set up your systems for you." And I was like, oh my gosh. I don't have to set up the systems. Because I've been setting up systems, and when they break, I fix them, or when they break, I ignore them. And so that this has been such self-care to me, to have systems in place that somebody else started for me that I just have to now follow along. And it has been amazing. And it is such a luxury. I felt so guilty about it starting out. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, really, do I need this? Like, I can organize my pantry. And Jesse's like, hey man, like, do you want to spend your weekends like this? I'm like, no, I don't. And like I said, my best friend loves organizing, and she's like, I could help you. And I'm like, there's 8 kids between us. Like, when are we going to have time to do this? Also, I'd rather sit and drink a margarita out by the pool with you. Like, I don't want to be organizing my pantry. So, such self-care. Such self-care.
Oh, that is self-care. Absolutely. I love that.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you for validating me.
You're welcome.
Jen, I need to know, we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun. Right now, it's obviously time for coffee and time for friendship and all of that. But what is it time for in your own life right now? Like, you're scaling your business. You're doing all these fun things. While we're recording, it's the last week of school. So summer's coming. What is it time for in your own life, though?
Oh, what is it time for? I am, because I think I've set myself up earlier this year, I started hiring in February. And it's like every month I've kind of done a new thing, not every month, but like every month or so. And I feel like I've set myself up to the point where now I feel like I can just not sit back and relax, but like just enjoy my summer with my family. And my parents they're retiring, and they're going to be snowbirds, actually.
So fun.
And so they have a house in Florida, and they have a house up here with us, which is such a blessing. And, you know, I haven't lived near family in 7 years, and so almost 7 years. And so I'm just really looking forward to quality time with my family, for my kids to have that nice quality time with their grandparents, and just enjoy my summer with the systems that I've kind of set up for myself. Yeah. It's time to just relax and enjoy the summer, enjoy my family, and then let my business run, you know, run the way that I've set it up to go. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. I think that there's so much labor, and I think that it's hard to remember how much we do, especially as we pass a little bit off. Like I just passed off a couple podcasts for my husband to edit for me, including my own, which is great. but all of a sudden I was like, why do I have so much time? What have I, like, I immediately was like, what am I doing? Why am I, like, because I have all this like time, which it baffled me, where I was like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And so when we actually get to
take, feel guilty because you have the time, but you're like, but wait, I've done these things so that I can have the time to do such and such. Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's the wildest thing. And so, but it's taking stock and it's celebrating those small victories, right? Of being like, I have time. Okay, I have 6 more hours a week that I can do stuff with. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to use it? And once somebody said recently, I said, what is it time for? And she said, fun. It's time for fun. And I was like, amen. We've been working so hard, especially this past year, where we are building businesses in the middle of a pandemic while raising children, while keeping marriages healthy and strong, and
all the things,
managing our homes, and, you know, just makes me anxious to even say all of that. But it's like, it's time for some fun. And so I'm so excited for you to have a fun summer with a pool in your backyard. Like, God bless America. It's the best.
Yes. I've never, you know, growing up in Florida, I didn't have a pool either in my backyard. We had access to pools, but I've never had my own. It's so funny now that I don't live in Florida, I have a pool. But yeah, we opened it up in just a month ago, and we're enjoying that so much. So I agree with your other guests. It's time for fun after this insane year that we had. School is out. We started virtually and ended in person, but good. I'm just so thankful that it's over, and let's move on. Let's move forward.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jen, thank you so much for joining me for coffee today. This has been so much fun. I just love our time together. Like, we need to stop doing this over interviews and just like have coffee dates.
Yeah, I
without
love that.
Recording them. We'll just stop recording them.
That sounds good. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jeanette. It's so awesome to talk to you. I love it.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.